Chicago-born model Ronnie Krull made it to the top two in the first season of Bravo's hit reality TV show, Make Me a Supermodel. His Midwestern good looks, his sparkling smile, and unabashed honesty about his sexuality made him a viewer favorite. Ronnie's intense friendship with fellow contestant, the straight prison guard Ben DeShera, became a focal point of the show and often outshined the public interest in the competition itself.
Ronnie joins us today to talk about how reality television made him a better person, being betrayed by his porn star escort boyfriend, and why embracing your imperfections makes you beautiful.
Plus, questions from you, our listeners, through Facebook.
Is your son trying to say he's gay when he paints a 60-foot-tall penis on the roof of your home?
A little person gets saved by a little dog in a little country.
And Anne Hathaway is set to play gay icon Judy Garland in the Get Happy, the Life of Judy Garland movie.
Get ready, I'm Fausto Fernos.
I'm Mark Fillion.
And this is Feast of Fun.
Today's show is brought to you by you. You, the fabulous listener, and your support make it all possible.
If you like our programming, go to our website, feastoffun.com, and make a financial contribution. Or get yourself a fabulous t-shirt. Thank you for your support.
Today's show is brought to you in part by Steamworks, Gym Sauna, and Baths.
Release the pressure! Saca la presión, Steamworks.
Steamworks is a comfortable and stylish place to meet other men, relax, work out, and play. Open 24 hours a day, 365 days a year to men 18 and over in Berkeley, Chicago, Toronto, Seattle, Washington, and now Vancouver, British Columbia. When you're ready to play, Steamworks is ready for you.
Visit steamworksonline.com and register to get a discount on your next visit. Enter Feast of Fools on the promo code field to get your very special discount. Remember, folks,
play hard,
play smart. Chicago-born model Ronnie Krull made it to the top two in the first season of Bravo's hit reality TV show, Make Me a Supermodel. His Midwestern good looks, sparkling smile, and unabashed honesty about his sexuality made him a viewer favorite. One of the most interesting things about the new show was the intense friendship Ronnie had with straight prison guard Ben DeShera. Ronnie joins us here on the show today. Welcome to Feast of Fun, Ronnie.
Thank you, guys. It's a pleasure to be here.
Woo! I know how RuPaul feels now, actually having a bona fide supermodel in the house. It's like, you know, he's not wearing any makeup or hair products or anything. This is how you look like when you wake up in the morning.
I wouldn't go that far.
How did you become so beautiful, Ronnie?
Genetics.
I got it from my mama.
Shout out to Mama Ronnie.
Is your mom more attractive than your dad?
I don't want to say.
You don't want to say.
You know, she always gets told that she looks like Princess Diana. So
oh, really?
That. Yeah. She's pretty hot.
I could see that you could be one of the illegitimate children of Princess Di.
Yeah, except my hair isn't red, so...
He looks pretty good, though, that redhead, I'd have to say.
So you said that being on reality TV made you not only a better model, but a better person. In what way?
It challenged me in ways that I wasn't challenging myself here at home. You know, whenever you're comfortable, you're not really growing. And so it gave me a chance to take a risk. And I was put in different situations where... You know, but I'd never, you know, been challenged like that before. And it just helped me overcome a lot of fears. It helped me get to know, see the world through other people's perspectives and, you know, just learn more about myself.
It made you take risks.
Yeah. I mean, it's important to take risks in life because without risks, there's no rewards. You know, a lot of people talk and then the people that actually become successful are the ones who, you know, make that first leap. It's scary. But
how'd you deal with all the scrutiny? Because you're on national television. They're following you around. They're subjecting you to doing all these crazy things and stuff like that. I can't imagine the stress has got to be really, really profound.
Yeah, it is. And I mean, you're cooped up in this house. I mean, don't get me wrong. It was a beautiful home. It's like a multi-million dollar home. But you're in this house for 3 months. You have no cell phones, no access to internet, no being able to talk with your family, nothing.
So you couldn't talk to your parents for like 3 months?
I talked to my mom once for 5 minutes.
Wow.
The entire time.
So it was like being in prison.
It was a luxury
prison. A very glamorous prison. And of course, so naturally you developed
it was like
a
Martha Stewart's prison, pretty much.
Well, and naturally you developed a romantic relationship with Ben, who was a prison guard in real life. Or you guys were
and
called.
He was a prison guard.
He was a prison guard.
He was a prison guard.
Ironically speaking,
it's pretty hot.
Did he ever wear like his prison guard uniform around you guys?
No,
because that'd be hot.
Did you fall in love with him? He's probably watching this or listening to this right now.
You know, the potential was certainly there. I definitely had a bromance with him. He was just so down to earth and genuine and kind. And everything that you saw on the show was very much real. It wasn't played up. It wasn't, you know, make believe. The producers didn't spin anything. It was our true friendship.
Did you get some action from him?
Oh, I plead the fifth on that one.
Come on. Did you give him like a six pack?
Well, they both had six-pack abs.
Yes.
Ooh, that's true.
But you were telling us before we started taping this that you get asked that all the time.
It's true. It's the number one most asked question.
And it seemed like your unrequited love affair or your friendship or your bromance, whatever you want to call it, seemed to be of greater interest than the competition itself.
In the beginning, it definitely was. It sidetracked me a little bit. But, you know, as the competition became tougher and more serious, like I forced myself to focus, you know, because I didn't come all the way out to New York, you know, to fall in love.
And I fell in love.
Well, do you think part of the reason why you fell in love with him is maybe you were trying to escape the situation you were under because you were feeling so much stress that you were like, this was a good outlet for you, or because you guys were under such extreme circumstances that it kind of like you knew it couldn't go anywhere, so it was kind of easy to fall in love with him? For example, if you had met him in Chicago and you were working together and stuff, do you think you still would have fallen in love with him?
I think so. I mean, Ben's just that type of a guy. I mean, he's very down to earth, very likable, and you know, we work together and we basically formed an alliance against the rest of the house.
Mm-hmm. And hence, you were the runner-up.
Right. You know, if he was gay, he certainly would be the best boyfriend. He just is so sweet.
Well, how would you categorize your relationship with him now?
It's platonic. To sum it up in one
but
word.
But do you have a friendship? Do you guys talk? Do you guys
we
get together?
We do talk. I just called him for his birthday. You know, we're both Aquarians. We celebrate our birthday.
Happy birthday, Ben, right. Wherever you are.
When's your birthday, Ronnie?
Mine is February 1st. So.
Oh, mine's the 2nd.
Okay, and then Ben's the 3rd. So all three of us
I'll
can be, go
I'll be the meat that sandwich.
But, I mean, it's sort of interesting because a lot of gay men sort of feel sometimes, and, you know, you can see this on a lot of online profiles. They have this sort of, I wouldn't say unusual attraction to men who identify or appear to be heterosexual. Mm-hmm. Was it part of the fact that he was unreachable or untouchable that attracted you to him?
No, I don't think so. Maybe at some subconscious level it may have been, but very much consciously it was just about the person. And honestly, he's just got a beautiful soul, you know.
Have you ever fallen in love with a straight person before?
There was one girl.
A girl.
Her name is Debbie.
Uh-huh. Shout out to you, Debbie.
And you fell in love with a girl.
Oh my God. So we're talking supermodel. What is your title now? Are you a supermodel?
I use the word all the time.
Why not?
I throw it around.
Are there any like non-supermodels? Like just be a model?
You're just a model.
Oh, sure. Yeah, there's models. Like there's porn stars and then there's just a porn actor.
Right. But most porn actors call themselves porn stars.
Yeah, but you are.
They really do.
You know, you are what you say you are, right?
Well, there you go. Yeah.
So we're taking questions from you, the listeners, through Facebook, Feast of Fun, the profile page, or through my profile, Fausto Fernos. The first question comes from Mark Canales. Do you still keep up with Ben, but is it true that you clench your teeth to make your jawline pop?
Actually, that is an age-old model trick.
Let's see that, because people can actually see this.
Do the jaw?
We're doing this simulcast with Outworld.tv, so you can actually see the what Ronnie is doing with his
pop
teeth.
Pop that jaw!
So let's see you pop your jaw.
It's really just a simple motion. You just grind on your teeth.
Now, can you unhinge your jaw?
Can you unhinge it?
Yeah. Are you talking about so you can swallow like a spider egg or
that's
something?
That's a whole nother topic. That's a whole nother topic.
Does that? Am I doing this right?
Close.
I feel like I'm just kind of like
pretend you just did a bunch of cocaine
now?
And you're grinding
the
your
whole
teeth.
Like model look for guys. Uh-huh. I mean, women have like they have so many different looks that mm-hmm. they can give, but for a guy, it's got to be very simple. Mm-hmm. You have to be really relaxed and tighten the jaw at the same time. So you're usually just leaving a small space in between your lips, just kind of.
So okay, so you're gonna give me guidance on how to be as beautiful as you are.
Glamour shots.
Glamour shots. So I'm gonna.
You're
this
always
is my
beautiful to me.
Well, I mean, I just want to have like put my best face forward.
Absolutely.
And you're gonna help Mark too.
And it's always very important, especially for us guys, to always kind of keep your chin up and out just a little bit. Because it gets rid of this, you know.
So like the turtle
turkey,
face.
This turkey or
the turkey neck.
Can I just get that sucked out?
So I'm going to stick my neck out a little bit, then mm-hmm. clench my jaw. Mm-hmm. And do I look mm-hmm. fabulous?
You look fabulous.
Thank you.
You're ready for your close-up.
So how do you walk the runway, sweetie?
Oh, girl.
What do you do exactly? Because I've been watching RuPaul's Drag Race, and I feel like I learned more about modeling from that show than in a way. Because they're sort of walking down the runway, and they have this sort of like sing-songy thing that they tilt mm-hmm. their head. Is that what you do when you're thinking? Or what,
no, I mean, like, the head? Best advice I got was from Tyson Beckford, who I absolutely adore.
Oh, who does
it?
Unbelievable. And, you know, he's such a sweetheart. He really is
a good sweet.
Guy. And sweet. He is. He's like
so chocolate candy.
He's genuine. You know, there's a lot of people out there that are just very much motivated just about their own career, but he's actually very supportive of all of us after the show. Like, you know, starting my music career, like, he came to the launch party.
So nice.
Yeah, he didn't have to do that. There was no big media. Press coverage there. He was just coming to hang out and have a good time. And
he seems like he'd be fun to hang out with. And so I saw him once in public. I waited on him once when I worked at Michael Jordan's restaurant. And he was just so drop dead gorgeous. And this is like 14 years ago. So he was like this young, virile young guy. But he still looks good. Because how old is he now? He's got to be like close to 40.
Well, he
I'm
made
guessing.
Ralph Lauren's clothes popular with African Americans.
He sure
if it
did.
Wasn't for Tyson, nobody be touching those threads. You know? Cliff Dix wants to know that there, surprisingly, it seems like from watching your show, that there could be a lot of homophobia in the modeling industry. Have you experienced it, and how do you handle it?
Well, it's a double-edged sword because you're talking about the modeling industry. There are a lot of gay people in the fashion industry. But at the same time, for some reason, what I don't get is we have to hide it. Sometimes, like, when you're out about it or if you're gay, you know, it makes you less marketable. And when a client knows that you're gay and it's open that you're gay, they may not hire you because you're gay, and it you might turn off a certain populace or a certain clientele.
But you're getting work.
I am working, but I don't know if I'd be working more if I wasn't openly gay.
Really? So could you go back into the closet?
Hell no. I bust out of that thing 10 years ago.
I mean, that was really interesting because you came into that show. You had a long career here in Chicago beforehand mm-hmm. as a model. Even I, like, designed ads with your picture in them for a dentist because you have a fantastic smile. And you came into this contest, unlike anybody else, you were openly gay. And there was documentation, and you were very proud of it, and you talked about that experience. Do you feel that that cost you somehow?
You know, I went into the competition saying that I was just going to be true to myself. And, you know, that was kind of the way I was raised. And even though it was difficult coming out with my mom in the very beginning, like, my mom, my grandma, my parents, they always just said at the end of the day, you know, life's too short to worry about that stuff. Just be yourself. You know, I never wanted to feel like I was hiding something from anyone. And I wanted people to see the real me. And there's always, you know, when people are hiding something, there's always that kind of like shadiness. There's something about them.
Oh,
that you can't
we know it well.
I know what you're talking about.
I know that well. And you're just like, what are they trying to hide?
What is going on?
And so many times it's like nothing, you know?
And, you know, I wanted to be me, and I wanted to be successful in my own right. And I didn't want to do it, you know, on something that was a lie, mm-hmm. you know?
So on your website, RonnieKroll.com, I like that your last name sounds like my favorite movie.
Really?
It was a Disney movie, Crawl. Like, everybody around my age are like, oh my God, I love Crawl.
But you've never seen it.
I've never seen
Crawl. Check it out, but it's K-R-O-E-L-L.
Correct.
RonnieCrawl.com. And there's a wonderful section on fashion and beauty tips for you.
Absolutely.
And you actually take advice from your fans and your friends that visit the site. And
we
they
do.
Can submit their own things,
they
too.
They can. I wanted to try and make it fun and interactive for people that come, you know.
But I can imagine people be like, you know, they're unloading their bullshit on you.
You know
too.
What's horrible?
What?
You know the spam bots?
Yeah.
That you know, for Viagra.
Oh yeah.
They've figured out how to start putting messages on my board.
You got me a little captcha.
And I've a captcha code.
I do. I got to figure out what to do, but it's like now get hard now, you know, and it's on my website.
Tell me more.
It's like a fashion tip. Get hard now with Viagra.
Well, there's a little Viagra in your coffee there, and by coffee I mean Guinness beer. So on your website, you talk about embracing your imperfections. This is a quote here. In order to hide an imperfection, you must first understand it, embrace it, and then value it as your beauty mark. Others will observe your confidence and no longer see it as an imperfection, but as something beautiful and uniquely you.
It's true.
What's your imperfection?
I'm a chipmunk face all the way. The first place. First place I gain fat is my face.
Oh,
and
really?
So, like, when I'm trying to stay lean or I'm trying to look good in a picture, I've learned now that a certain angle or a certain, like, look, like if I'm turning left or right or tilting my head back a little bit, it kind of, you know, makes up for that.
So what's, like, your worst smile? Like, you're like this? Like, people say, like, when you're modeling, do you have to do a certain face?
Like, it's just a very relaxed, kind of like tough kind of look. It's just kind of like, and it's all in the eyes modeling, especially for guys, because everything.
Because you're not making these crazy faces.
You're not doing crazy
like
faces or cutesy, you know, what girls can do mm-hmm. to be glamorous and cute. Guys can't do that.
Because we're always fighting, because we take a lot of photos, you know, our line of work and stuff like that. And Fausto's always making these crazy faces. And then he's like, make a face. I'm just like, I just smile and look at the camera and hope you get
this
a good
is, you know, this
photo.
Is what I got this from your friend, our friend. She's a drag queen in Chicago. Her name is Miss Fousey.
Oh, I love Fousey.
And she does this every time. She has very
hello,
little...
Hello, pineapple.
Hello, pineapple. But every time she gets photographed, she does this. So it looks like she's sucking on a popsicle. and
a popsicle.
So, and when people say this, and I got this from Divine, is that when you kind of drop your jaw a little bit, mm-hmm. it helps to bring out your jawline. If you're like me, or... Well, you both of you guys have big jaws, but I have a smaller... More feminine thing.
Girly.
And so
perfect
I do this.
For drag.
As a way of trying to be like playful, but also how do you make the variations of your facial expression happen? Because you put a lot of thought into this.
Yeah, you got to take yourself to different places. Being a model is almost like being an actor at the same time because you got to really live the part. Like I just shot with an amazing photographer, Bill Diodato. Did you see the Snake in the Tank episode on Make Me Supermodel?
I remember that, but I thought I was watching Animal Planet. I was like, which channel is this?
Was he the photographer for that?
But the photographer okay. is amazing, and he helps you bring out a different emotions. He took me to another level. I just shot with him about a week ago, and we were doing this shoot where I was like doing gore, and it was beauty gore. So I had like blood capsules out my mouth. I had scars on my head. They were like spraying me with water, like I was just running in the rain after
in hell.
A fight, like in hell.
Yeah. Ronnie goes to hell.
That could be a good movie.
I think that should be the title of the show. Should we title
Ronnie
the show that?
Ronnie
goes to hell.
Ronnie Crawl in hell. So
it would be a party, that's for sure.
Yeah, I guess that, you know, I'm trying to think of like times that, you know, what is your like favorite way to be photographed or for you? Is it, you know,
is it in your underwear?
No,
because you have a fantastic body,
you know,
and you were talking about in the show that you worked really, really hard to get that body.
I did.
I remember that. And I was like, but he always had a good body.
You know, but once we worked with our trainer, Clay, on the show, like he took
they were
us,
like taking you to the gym?
We went to the gym twice a week with a professional trainer. Actually,
twice a week isn't enough, though.
Yeah, but he's Matt Damon's. He's Matt Damon's.
So he had you work out really hard twice a week.
No. he was Matt Damon's personal trainer and Bruce Springsteen. So, like, he's celebrity trainer.
So he must be good.
He killed us. So all you needed was.
So you were training during the show?
Yes.
A lot. Okay. Mm-hmm. But you had a good body coming into the show.
I felt like I had an okay body, but I mean, it's like it was going in a model boot camp. I mean, it was all about diet and watching your weight and doing different exercises to shock the system. Because once you get used to a routine that you're comfortable with, mm-hmm. if you don't switch it up, you're not going to see the results. And that's what he kind of did. He pushed us to do that.
Peter Hamish Scott wants to know, when I was younger, Ronnie, I wanted to be a male model, but unfortunately, I was too short.
Aww. Oh, well, now Tyra's got a show coming out for girls who are like 5'7" and under.
I know. It's not crazy.
She's
make me a little supermodel.
it's make me a petite supermodel.
Oh, that's interesting.
That's not really the title of it. Supermodel. Well, did she do a plus size one yet? Or
not yet.
But she has had plus size people on the show.
She has.
Yeah. So that's
But yeah, I mean, the whole height thing is more for runway, because mm-hmm. runway, they want the taller models, but he could probably get away, depending on how short he was, he could probably still do some commercial work.
Like Gap Kids or something like that.
Oh!
Well, maybe. I don't know how short he is. Well, you know, if he's short, what are you going to do? So Ty Curtis wants to know what 2 + 2 equals.
I thought it equaled 4, but...
I think it equals F-U.
was that some sort of sarcasm?
Yes. Well, you know, people have that... People think, hey, if you're a model, you must not have any brains. Why do you think that stereotype, where did that come from?
I don't know. I mean, there's certainly stereotypes for mm-hmm. a reason. There's a lot of models out there who are kind of like, I don't know. What?
Well, you run into some pretty bone dumb people.
Yeah, you do. It's true.
And what do you say? Like, so they make your life hell?
I really don't have tolerance for ignorance.
They make your life hell.
It's tough.
Ronnie Kroll is in hell. I mean, loves it. But isn't that
part of
the... I feel
like I'm on David Letterman. He brings back a joke like throughout the entire night.
Yes. This is just like David Letterman.
The running gag.
only we're not married legally. You know, he just got married this week.
Did he?
Or he made plans? Or
no, he married his longtime girlfriend. Oh. I think they'd been together for like 20
years. And I'm like,
I thought he was gay.
He's got a child, right?
He has a kid.
They have a kid. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I know, it's crazy. So shout out to you, David.
Enjoy your marriage.
You can do it. You live in New York City now.
Yeah, I love it.
You went from Chicago to New York.
Made the big move.
Sort of like the Beverly Hillbillies.
So are you living in squalor with a bunch of other models? Did you see that article that ran? And it was like all over the gay blogs. And it was an article written, I think maybe it was the New York Times, about male models and how they don't get paid as much as female models. And that they often shack up together. And they basically, they're living in poverty. Is that a typical story?
It's not lifestyles of the rich and famous, I can tell you that much. It's usually a one-bedroom apartment, and they'll shove between like 5 to 8 guys in that apartment with bunk beds, much like we were on the mm-hmm. show. And it's expensive to live in New York, and so when you're there trying to make a living as a model, you do whatever you can to, you know, balance your budget every month.
So you're a beautiful slave.
Right. That's pretty much it is. It's a model farm, you know.
Well, why is the experience so much different for men than it is for women? Is it because there's more men doing it, or they just don't value it as much?
I think it's just there's more work for women because fashion like glamorizes the feminine physique, and I think in marketing schemes too, like I mm-hmm. think they try and market to women more, so there's always the need for women, you know, models. Guys, it's not so much. Guys are always like in the background. They're always, if you see like ads for like for any type of feminine thing, like there's always guys like really hot, but like they're always kind of like the afterthought.
They're there with her buying those tampons.
Absolutely.
It's like my girlfriend's taking
or the birth control or whatever it is.
I'm not having his
Philip
baby.
Gasper wants to know, is the fashion world tough to live in and remaining in the spotlight for more than a year? I mean, do you feel like you're sort of like a fighter, that you're fighting to stay in the spotlight?
I think it is it's a constant struggle because what the show did, I think the best thing the show did is it catapults you into a stardom, if you will, but mm-hmm. for a brief moment, you know, it's fleeting. And so trying to figure out ways to remain grounded, but at the still still at the same time stay out there and make sure that people are seeing you and saying your name and mm-hmm. talking about you all the time.
Well, get drunk and then fall into a gutter and have people take photos of you.
You know, I just engaged a publicist because it's so important, I think, for artists mm-hmm. to have one. You know, especially in my position, because you don't want to have to be doing all of your business deals. Like, people mm-hmm. don't want to do business with you. They want you to be the model. They want you to be the actor. They want you to be the fun person, you know, that they watched on TV. They don't want you, like, negotiating.
Yeah, I have no idea how you got on this show.
I Facebook messaged you.
Like, Craigslist.com.
Craigslist.org. And he's like, contact my publicist. So I did an interview request through your publicist, and she was very...
Well, lovely. You know how I've been talking with a famous celebrity on Facebook about getting her on the show. And I'm not going to confirm it because if it doesn't happen, it'll disappoint people. But it's like, oh my God, you know. And the interesting thing about it is, like, we live in new media times, and maybe those walls and gatekeepers roles are being handed to us because the way we relate to our public and our fans is changing. And so I'm wondering, you know, if in your situation, maybe managing yourself a little bit would be a good idea.
I'm used to managing myself. I actually get in trouble with my publicist. Like, when I try and reach out to someone, she'll, like, slap my hand and be like, no, you be the star. I'm going to do your work for you.
So if you, like, wanted to Amy Winehouse your career, could you do that?
I don't know. I don't
be
know
Be known
so
as that skank.
That's not me. You know, that's not who I am. So that wouldn't be the route I would go.
So who is you?
Who is you? Which show am I on?
Who is Ronnie Kroll?
Who is you?
What's your name again?
Yo, cop. What? No, I mean, who are you?
I
then?
Like to think of it as a work in process. Mm-hmm. I mean, mm-hmm. and I don't think you ever really truly figure it out. But I think the most important thing is to be honest with yourself and constantly reflect and reevaluate where you are.
Where are you going? Because you are a model, mm-hmm. and you're doing some music. So I'll
do a little
music.
Actually, after the show, a Hollywood producer, Justin Jagoda, unbelievable producer, mm-hmm. contacted me and said, hey, I know that you were a singer before you went on the show. Would you be interested in just hanging out for a week in the studio making some music? And I jumped at the chance.
We will make beautiful music together. You're like, I don't swing that way. But you guys actually made two tracks.
We did. We made two tracks, Miserable Attraction and Taste of Her Sin.
And so we'll be playing one of them at the end of the show. Now, in the songs, you talk about all these girls.
We do, don't we?
Who are these chicks?
These chicks are, you know, we just kind of let the artistic process guide us to where we go. Like, I get the question all the time now, like, what? You're obviously gay. I was like, really? But they're like, you're singing about women. I was like...
Why not?
My music isn't just for gays. It isn't just for women. It's for everybody to appreciate. And these songs happen to be about girls. Tomorrow's songs might be a love story about two guys. But we're just having fun and being creative and being
artistic.
So there's
nobody there that you're thinking about? Because I kind of like have this sort of like, you know, I'm mad at her.
There is some shade underlying there. Sure. Yeah.
Do you want to say call her out on it right now?
I'm gonna call him out on it.
Oh, so him's a her.
Oh, I don't know. Some people know that, you know, before I went on the show, I was dating this guy, and he turned out to be a porn star and an escort.
Get out!
You didn't know?
Yeah, I didn't know.
How'd you find out?
You told me this story last time I ran into you.
It was like three months before I found out. Like, my buddy was on, you know, doing his
thing. How does that feel when you're really, really close to somebody and you find out that they're a hooker or a porn star? They have this other life that you had no idea about.
It's hard because, like, my album is titled Chemical Addictions. You're already addicted to them. There's, like, something going on up here that you love something about them. And mm-hmm. I think that's why, you know, we've all been in those relationships where we're starstruck with someone. So they could do anything. And everyone around us is like, no, you shouldn't be with them. You shouldn't be with them. And we're like, no, they're perfect. I love them.
Oh, so you had some inkling? Your friends were saying don't.
Well,
they
said there was something shady about him. But, you know, you always kind of, don't worry. I'm
but
fine.
It's not like he gave you any feelings otherwise than you were in love with the guy.
Yeah, I was very much in love with him. And, you know, I still care about him. You never stop really caring about someone.
So how did you find out?
One of my best friends was, you know, on one of those websites, and he called me up and he's like, Ronnie, you're going to need to sit down for a second. You need to look at this website. And, you know, I go on the website and I click on it and I open it up, and the biggest picture there is him, you know, going
out. They didn't warn you and say your boyfriend's on here?
No. No, they just let me pull up the window and see it for myself.
How did you handle that? What happened?
You
called him up?
I called him up on it, and, I tried to work through it with him. I'm like, you're better than this. You know, I don't want you to be doing this while you're with me. Mm-hmm. And believe me, we all like, porn. There's a famous musical Avenue Q about it.
Everybody loves porn, yes.
Everybody loves porn.
The internet is for porn.
But, I just said, I don't want you to be doing this while we're together, and I'll do anything I can to help you out, so that you're not doing this.
And so he took your money and still did the porn.
Yes.
No way.
He did?
And, oh my God.
And I still didn't leave him. You know why I left him?
Why?
Plagiarism.
What do you mean plagiarism?
He copied one of my school papers and turned it in as one of his own for a class at his college.
That's really? What made you leave him.
That was the last straw.
Wow. So how long before you went on to America's Top Model?
I'm sorry.
Hey. Who wants to be a supermodel? Did this happen? Because this happened when you were in college? Or?
This happened a couple of years before supermodel, okay. But he was probably one of the...
Was he the worst boyfriend? You ever had?
No, not at all. But my friends always gave me hell after I was complaining about it. He's a porn star and he's an escort. They're like, what are you complaining about? You're getting it for free. I was like, what?
But that's the hard thing is that when you're dating somebody who also on the side gets paid to have sex with other people, there's always that thought in the back of your head. I could be making money doing this right now. Yeah. Like when they're with you and you're like having you're romantic.
They're shot is costing me $250.
But he would come home with like a new pair of like diesel jeans that are like $400 and I'd be like, where did you get those?
So the guys would buy them for him or they would
Or he would use the money and go buy them.
Now, whatever floats your boat and stuff
I got nothing. I got nothing against that. I mean, it's like you got to do what you got to do for you.
But you want to be honest in all your relationships.
I want to be honest.
If this person isn't being honest, then there you go. So our salute to the sex workers of the world.
So we are talking to supermodel, actor, fashion diva, or divo, musician, Ronnie Kroll. He is on today's Feast of Fun. Today's show is simulcast with Outworld.tv. You can actually see us having all this fun with a gorgeous... I mean, you are just a gorgeous guy. Look at that face.
Look at that face.
Okay, well, I don't know what camera to look at. But so
look
beautiful.
At the middle one.
The middle one. Look at this guy. He's gorgeous.
You guys are gorgeous.
I can touch him.
You guys are
and
gorgeous.
He can escape. Oh. Okay, Kieran.
That would make wonderful film.
Yes, we could make porn. I mean, it's like, here, Philip, we do have the equipment.
This conversation is going downhill fast.
Well, so we do have the equipment. We could make porn, but we're choosing not to. Now, people can actually pleasure themselves by this conversation or watching us. Doesn't mean, that's in a whole nother story. If your modeling career doesn't go the direction you want it to, or, I mean, it already has gone in fabulous places, and it's always like you're always looking for your next job, right? What would you be doing if you hadn't been on the TV show, if you wouldn't be making music? Would you be like a dental assistant? Or,
oh my God.
What were you studying to be in college?
Well, I'm actually going back to college in the
you
fall.
You are? So like Jodie Foster.
Really?
You're gonna go, she stopped her career and then went to
Yeah,
school.
I mean, I actually have had a lot of on and offs with college. I had a love-hate relationship with it. I really wanted to be there and then I didn't, so I took a lot of breaks. And then when I was really gung-ho about going back to school is when Supermodel presented itself. And who's going to say no to an opportunity like
that? Of course not.
Yeah. I would have been foolish not to. But, I took the opportunity, and now I'm going to go back to school and finish my political science degree.
Poli-sci. So you're going to get into politics?
I would like to get into legislative work. Yeah, definitely.
Are you thinking about law school then?
I am. It's crossed my
a
mind.
A career in politics?
A career in politics.
Vote for Ronnie Kroll.
Who wants to be a congressman?
I wouldn't mind him tapping my bathroom
door. There is a mayoral race in 2011.
I know. Gavin Newsom is trying to...
Here in Chicago?
Here in Chicago.
You're going to run against Daly.
Look out, old man Daly. Ronnie Kroll's on the way.
Gavin Newsom, the San Francisco mayor, is trying to ramp up his career to actually run for governor of California, and he's embracing his stance on gay marriage as the new middle. It's the new middle.
Well, what's the extreme?
I guess it would be rejecting gay marriage or marriage equality.
What's the other extreme?
I guess would be, I don't know, forcing everybody to be gay.
You know, so it's the middle. I can buy that.
It's going to be interesting to follow this. You know, the Supreme Court of California is now hearing, the arguments on if, you know, it's okay to put a ballot on the measure and change the
It could happen any day now. I think they have, 90 days to decide. So it's kind of like one of these days is all of a sudden it's just going to be, we've decided.
You know? I got to give kudos to Barack Obama. You know, he's, you know, making the most out of his first 90 days and he's tackling a lot. You know, he's got a lot on his plate, but yet he's still going to work with the UN. He's still going to sign the bill that, you know, is going to stop, you know, criminalizing, you know, being homosexual across, you know, the UN's making their statement.
My favorite thing that Barack Obama's done is he's no longer persecuting people who are growing and selling marijuana as long as it complies with local laws federally.
So I don't think
toke away from
I don't think there's any laws though here in Chicago.
I mean, maybe one day, you know, not you and yet. Ben DeShera could, you know, hook up together. So have you been watching any of the reality TV shows this season? And now that you're sort of like been inside it, you know, because when we were on What Not to Wear, all of a sudden, all the reality TV stars in Chicago, they give you that secret handshake and we'll do it down
do
the
it
table.
Under the table.
See, there you go.
You can't see it.
And they look at you and they go. They nod at you.
That used to be the way you could find out if someone was gay back in the day.
Really? Was a handshake. That's right.
You had to like go like
the
this and then just kind of like go
that did the gay handshake with Ronnie. Are you jealous? Are you jealous, America? Get jealous. Kieran Daly wants to know, who is your least favorite designer?
My least?
What a negative question. Oh, who's your favorite designer?
Right now, I'm in love with S2VS.
S2VS.
He's a new designer. You can go to S2VS.com.
I'll go right now.
His stuff is
S2VS.com. God, that is just a difficult URL to get to.
But his clothes,
there's a little doggy.
They fit so well. You know, they're so tailored.
I want that knapsack.
I know. So we should look on the lookbook, the stock list.
Lookbook.
Okay. Lookbook. Oh, and there you are.
Ooh, there's a crotch shot right there.
So how would you describe the clothing for the people who can't see it?
Sean's clothing is very tailored. It's very European in nature.
He has a hoodie, just like I'm wearing now. See, look at me.
It's comfortable
I'm young and hip.
It's classic, but it's still hip, you know.
Does this look good on me?
I like the hoodie, absolutely.
How about, do you like my t-shirt?
Oh, those are hot.
We'll get you one.
You're going to
get
me one of those?
Yes, the canary and the coal mine are now shipping.
Yay.
After. That's right, people.
Order today. They're going fast.
They're going very fast. They're our latest new t-shirt, and they come with a Feast of Fun logo, brand new on your butt.
I'll stand up so you can see it.
I'm going to get branded today. I can see
You're
going to
get branded. So we'll have photos of
That's
Ronnie.
Hot. That's
and you'll
hot.
Actually be modeling them for us. You'll be like the first supermodel to wear our t-shirt.
I'm honored.
I'm not worthy.
I'm honored.
So you've been watching reality TV show?
A little bit. I've watched a little bit of the season 2 of Make Me a Supermodel.
Mm-hmm. What do you think of the contestants?
I don't have a favorite yet.
No?
But, it's interesting because Make Me a Supermodel, they're supposed to not be great in the beginning. You know, you want to see them evolve. So I'm excited to see each of their paths, you know.
I watched a little bit of it the other day, and they had them in these elaborate contraptions. They were like, I don't know if they were supposed to be like horses or something like that, but they were all like strapped in this armor that was all like, I don't know. It was like some kind of metal sculpture.
They were slobbing it up.
Yeah, it was really weird. And then, so it was funny to see these people, and they were all attractive, I have to say, but some of the people, they have this woman on who always looked just like surprised. Mm-hmm. And they're like, why do you look so scared? And she's like, do I look scared? And her eyes are like bug-eyed popping out. She's just like, I don't think I look scared. And everybody's just like, how does she not know what she looks like?
I don't know. I think my favorite reality show right now is The Real World Brooklyn.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah, I'm watching my friend Scott. He's the really, really, really hot guy who's got the relationship with the transvestite.
Uh-huh.
And it's such a beautiful, beautiful thing because for so long, you know, the transgendered community has gotten such a bad rap. And it's nice to see that, you know, there's a relationship between this straight guy and this individual that's just trying to find themselves. And they're
you know, they're bridging the gaps between each other's differences.
And that trans person just started going on that show like hours after her operation or something like that. I think she was still...
She was still bleeding down there.
So I was just like, kudos to her, man.
I have a dear friend in LA, London, and she is just incredible. And she's going through a lot of the same stuff, like trying to be accepted by her family, her parents. And you just don't really understand it until you're in their shoes. Like, she just really doesn't feel comfortable. She feels like she should have been something else. And when you hear these people's stories and you befriend these people and you get to know them, you know, it's about matters of the heart. Yeah. You know, it's not about the superficial layers, if you can get past that. But she's a beautiful woman, and there are people like her that are actually coming out and being role models for other people out there.
Be all you can be.
Mm-hmm. Well, Ronnie, you certainly give credence or weight to the myth that beautiful people are beautiful on the outside and the inside. Scott Ian Ray wants to know, we know all models have some sort of beauty routine, even the men. What do you do to keep your skin clear and that body smooth and fit? What are your beauty secrets? Besides the stuff that's on your site, though.
Well, lemon water is always good.
Really?
Yeah. What do you do for that?
It's like an astringent.
It cleans you right out.
you just squeeze the lemons like Jan Brady in the Brady Bunch.
You basically just, you know, once a day, take like the concentrated lemon juice and just add it to your water. Or if you're out having like a fresh...
For drinking.
Sure.
I thought you were going to pour it on your face.
No.
Okay. Then you can cook your face. Have you been watching RuPaul's Drag Race?
I haven't. I've gotten to see like little clips of it online. I hate to admit, I don't have a TV, so I watch all my stuff on the internet.
It's fabulous. Because I was like, I feel like I've learned more about being a supermodel from that show than, you know, it's like, and I'm always like looking at how they're putting on makeup
RuPaul is fierce.
She took her earrings off in the last episode and read them raw. That was so satisfying, because you were just like at home going, if I was there, I'd give them a piece of my mind.
She did. Kudos to you, Ru.
Do you get people coming up to you and were like, I hated that one contestant. If I would have been there, I would have told them. I can't believe you put up with that shit.
It's true. You know, my friends Derek and Romaine, they're on Q Radio and Sirius. Uh-huh. Like
New Yorkers.
Every time I go into their studio, they're always dissing Holly. They're always like, that hunchback of a whale, she should have never won. And I'm always trying to sit there like, oh, you shouldn't say that. You know, I wanted to kick her off the stage, but I'm...
What are you going to do? Do you have a relationship with her now or
now? Actually, I love Holly.
Do you?
The funny thing was, after the show was over, we had 1 week to be sequestered because we all knew who won the show. Mm-hmm. You know, models plus alcohol and partying, you know,
leads to spilling the beans.
So we were sequestered for a week together, and we had to watch all the episodes of Make Me a Supermodel so we knew what the show looked like. And we got to start seeing all the trash we were talking about each other behind our back.
Really?
So there was a point where Holly called me some shallow, like, fake person. And
I think I remember that.
And she was sitting right next to me while we were watching it. I just turned to her and I gave her the most dirty look. I was like, oh.
What's up? Do it for the camera.
I was just,
You bitch.
I did. I said those words exactly.
Oh, that's hysterical. But you guys get along well now.
We do. I was Holly for Halloween.
You dressed up as her?
That's kind of psycho.
What did you do?
Actually, if you go to my music MySpace page in the background, you'll
that's
see
you.
Holly. That's
I thought
me.
I was like going, I was kind of going, okay, MySpace.com.
So you're
Ronnie
Kroll 2020.
So you're doing drag now?
No. I was Holly for Halloween. That's
you almost too pretty to be a boy. See, it looks like a picture of the Hulk. It's not very glamorous.
Image, that's
and I didn't shave.
Well, now, being a model, do you manscape or do you let them do that?
You know, I used to manscape, but I'm finding more that my area where I could be more successful is having hair. They want you to have
What is manscaping
hair.
Exactly? It's trimming down
it's
your
trimming.
Plumes.
You know, it's trimming, making sure that it's not going all over like the Georgia
so
the Jungle.
So, show me your forearm. See, so it's hairy then.
You know, I like
Oh, you have a little bit I of like trimming hair, there, though.
But I do trim, you know, because it, you know, it gets kind of crazy. I'm German, and so that comes out. You know, David Hasselhoff.
Don't hassle the Hoff.
I am German, so.
So this is an interesting news story. This is another sign your son may be gay when he paints a 60-foot-tall penis on the roof of his home. Rory McInnes.
You're kidding.
He was. He had watched.
No, he's not kidding.
I'm not kidding. He's 18 years old from the UK. He watched a documentary on Google Earth and decided to paint a giant wang in tribute to the ancient facility symbol of CERN, the Abbas giant in Dorset.
Well, you know, he was
There's a picture of it.
Let's see.
Do you see that? And you guys can see that. You can do a cutaway for that.
This is not so different from the Pompeii. Have you ever been to Pompeii?
Pompeii has like penises
There's
everywhere.
Phallic symbols yes. everywhere. He's just, you know, channeling that.
Yeah, but this is an 18-year-old boy basically saying, "Mom, Dad, I want cock.
I want a 60-foot long penis."
It's like going to Subway. You can get 2-foot longs for one.
I think though, you know, just kids like love to draw dicks and stuff like that too. So he may be straight and just thought, and he's just playing a prank, you know, because like you can look at it from Google Earth because he can be like, look at my house on Google Earth.
You can see the penis because my ceiling looks like a penis. I mean, I thought it was interesting that he figured out that the dimensions of his home could be drawn. So he's
that
got a bucket of white
like
paint.
Mine.
That looks exactly
That's
like
exactly
yours.
Mine, yeah.
With a like a stripe in the middle.
Is it that big, Ronnie?
It is. Well, it's big inside here. And here, that's what matters. This is a fabulous one. Beverly Burkett. She is a 45-year-old tiny lady, a little person, who went for a little walk and with her Chihuahua Pebbles. So it's a little person with a little dog near the campsite where they were staying at in North Wales. Beverly went deep into the forest before realizing she dropped her cell phone somewhere, then realized she was lost. Instead of getting lost even more, Beverly sat her little butt down with pebbles and waited for help to come. They weren't found until the next morning after a ground team and helicopters were set out. 3'8" tall, Beverly thanked 7 inches tall pebbles for keeping her safe and warm throughout the night. She told the sun, "Pebbles lay across my legs overnight and kept me warm." Let me do it a little bit higher pitch. "I was wearing a coat, but it wasn't as warm as pebbles. I wasn't too worried I'd be found sooner or later. Pebbles saved my life."
What's Aww. Funny about these chihuahuas
sweet.
Is you always see them, they're always shaking. They're always like,
because they're freezing.
Because they're freezing because they're so small.
I know. Shout out to you, Pebbles and Beverly.
That is so sweet. You know, my cats did the same thing for me when I first moved to Brooklyn.
Really?
They kept you warm.
They did. My heat wasn't working for like the first month of winter. And like, it was frigid.
How many cats do you have?
I have 2 cats.
So it's like Grey Gardens in your apartment. <It was.
laughs> And did you get them for heating purposes?
Not really. I mean, they're in heat a lot, but...
And so you just snuggled up in bed with them? And
I did. Like, they just jump right in bed and they
Now, do you think that
tongue.
They were trying to get your heat, or they were trying to heat you, or they were trying to like,
I don't think
get on your heat?
I think they
My
were trying to get
My pussy cats
heat.
Get more action than I do.
It's true, they do.
Really?
They do.
You weren't telling me. I asked you before we started taping, what did you have for breakfast? And you said, a man.
I had a man sandwich.
And what'd you have for lunch?
Toast.
And dinner.
But I mean, it's like, you get hit on a lot, and because you're a symbol of someone who has a career, who appears to have it all together. You're very attractive, very charming, obviously intelligent. What, you know, I mean,
it's hard.
You're batting away the men and
you
the women.
You just like turn them down like, no, I'm not having sex with you tonight. No, not you, not you. So, yes, you.
So when you walk into a gay no, bar, you. You're like, no, 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 no.
It's like
yes.
Duck Goose, you know, you sit around in a circle.
I mean, do people like get upset when you don't reciprocate their amorous advances?
It does become difficult, especially in my position, because then if you don't reciprocate, they start to talk crap about you. You know? They start to spread the rumors.
Oh, that'll come later.
You're a jerk and yada, 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 yada.
But if you sleep with them anyways, they'll still talk shit
they
about
will,
you.
They will, but at least it'll be good shit.
They're like, that 60-foot long penis.
Long.
It was
long.
Crazy.
No, I've been really lucky. I actually had a great relationship right after the show for about 6 months, and I was sad to let it go, but he had to move for work, and we didn't want to do the long-distance thing. It would have been too hard for us.
Because in Puerto Rico, like, women say they have a husband, and they actually, like, buy themselves rings to lie to say that they have a man so they don't get hit on a lot.
That's smart. That's
really
smart.
Do you
smart.
Find yourself, like, lying and saying, I have a boyfriend. His name is George Cauldron. He lives in Canada.
But, you know, the other thing about my industry is that there's always that idea, that glamour to if he's available still. So the moment you get a boyfriend, it's almost you're less marketable.
So Ronnie Kroll is in hell and is single. And is single.
But I think sometimes you want to have that kind of barrier and stuff like that.
I kind of want to have my own reality show. You remember that show, Boy Meets Boy?
It was sure. Really... Yeah, what? Why was he such a catch? You know, I ran into that guy, and let me tear him a new A. And I started talking to him, and he started walking backwards. Away from me. And I just said, I
that's a trick, so you don't know that he's disappearing. And then the next thing you know,
it's
gone.
It's just you and Kathy Griffin.
It was me. It was like totally like, I get treated worse than Kathy Griffin. And I was like at one of those gala events and stuff. And I'm just like, hey, you can't, you know, how's it going? And I'm just like, said, I loved your show. You're fantastic. Really interesting. And he just starts walking backwards.
That's horrible.
That's weird.
It was really weird. Like he just.
What did you do to him?
I didn't do anything. I didn't
did
touch him.
Did you grab his nuts?
I didn't. I was sober.
Did you shower?
I showered. I was well dressed. You know, I had bathed. I didn't fart or anything.
I believe you.
So I don't know what it is, but you know, you could just video blog. Meanwhile.
That's true.
You know,
but I think it would be fun to do something like that.
You know what would be great?
Yeah,
I'll give you some unsolicited advice. Learn how to play the guitar, sit on your bathroom toilet, and write songs about how miserable and unhappy you are. Oh, wait a minute. Somebody already done
that's
that.
That's Jay Brannon's career, isn't it?
Oh, I love Jay.
Oh, I'm just kidding.
I want to be a housewife. So what's wrong with that?
Is that his song?
That's one of his songs.
Ooh, yeah.
What's happening with Anne Hathaway?
So Anne Hathaway, I'm so excited. She is going to portray Judy Garland in a film based on the book Get Happy, The Life of Judy Garland.
I love, you know, you can never... have enough Judy Garland impersonators in movies and
true.
Films.
You never get tired of them.
Like, I had no interest in Judy Garland until I saw Judy Davis do her. Mm-hmm. And she was going, I've been trying to be Judy Garland for all my life. And that, she was like chewing the scenery so much. And I was like, oh, I love Judy Garland. And then I found the actual tapes, like Judy Garland's podcast. And it was like, it's called Judy Garland Speaks. You can buy it on Amazon.com. And it's like hours and hours of hours of like, this fucking Nazi machine, I can't get it to work.
She's like complaining about her ex-husband. My ex-husbands were jerks. They were awful. I love my kids. It was just, it's so tragic.
Judy Garland's pretty amazing.
She
was the one that named the Rat Pack.
She did?
She sure did.
I didn't know
I didn't know that.
You know, they were big poker players, card players. And, you know, they'd hang out at the apartment, and they'd cause a lot of noise, and the neighbor would always come down and yell at him. It's like Frank Sinatra and Jimmy D.
I'm Frank Sinatra. What are you
doing? Yeah, but they always used to shake their fists at him and call him, you dirty rats. And
so
Judy Garland goes out and she buys a whole bunch of ruby and diamond encrusted rats and they all become part of the Rat Pack.
Well, that's why she got broke. She was buying everybody jewels.
Les bijoux.
Bijoux.
Well, you know, the thing about Judy Garland is that for some reason, seeing tragic figures, especially tragic women who with strong emotions and strong personalities, as gay men, we just are like moths to the flame.
It's true.
What
I think we understand. I think we've all been there and done that in our own way. We've overcome obstacles and we're struggling with ourselves and we've kind of been through that pain.
So that emotion we see reflected physically in that person.
And we're drawn to it and like you said, like moths to a flame because I think we empathize with them. You know,
how do you get the drama out of your life? Because you had a beautiful, I mean, I really like that quote, you know, embrace the things that you feel are your flaws. And for a lot of like gay kids out there, like that kid in Texas.
Oh yeah.
That you know, embracing what you think is a flaw, maybe your sexuality is actually your strength. For you, it is.
Absolutely. I mean, but I don't focus on it. I don't let it rule my life. And I always try and tell people that when they write to me, it's like your personal orientation is such a small part of who you are.
Because you get a lot of letters and stuff from kids who were watching the show and struggling with their own sexuality. And you were telling us about a boy from Texas who wrote to you and said, you made my mom go gay for you, so now she's happy that she's happy now that I'm gay, but he wasn't before.
Yeah, it was very moving because I think his very conservative Texas family, And, you know, the mom just always thought it was the stereotype. And so when she watched me on the show, she was able to overcome that stereotype and see that her son, you know, still had a future, still could be very successful and didn't have to be the stereotype.
So what's keeping us from equality in this country is good television shows.
You know it.
Well, it is visibility. I think there's a lot of it.
Think about it for a second. The people that control the media control, you know, everything that goes on in the world, you know, and it's those people who are making the big decisions that affect our everyday lives.
So, and that is Ronnie Kroll. And that is all our show we have
Ronnie,
for today.
Ronnie, I want to thank you for coming on the Feast of Fools. Wow. The Feast of Fun.
The Feast of Fun. Today's show is brought to you in part by Steamworks Gym, Sauna, and Baths.
Release the pressure.
Saca la presión. Steamworks.
Steamworks is a comfortable and stylish place to meet other men, relax, work out, and play. Open 24 hours a day, 365 days a year to men 18 and over in Berkeley, Chicago, Toronto, and now Seattle, Washington, as well as Vancouver, British Columbia.
In Canada.
Two places in Canada, Toronto and Vancouver. When you're ready to play, Steamworks is ready for you.
Visit steamworksonline.com and register to get a discount on your next visit. Enter Feast of Fun on the promo code field to get that very delicious special discount. Remember, folks,
play hard, play smart.
So you're going to leave us with some music?
I am.
What are you going to play? I'm going to set it up here on the iTunes.
We're going to play a little bit of my boy Drew G, his mix of Miserable Attraction.
Mm-hmm. Now, and of course, if people want to become your fan, they go to your Facebook fan page.
They can go to my Facebook or MySpace or just RonnieKroll.com. We'll get you to anywhere you need to go.
Oh, so you can visit there. And is this music for sale on iTunes yet?
This is actually on MyFavoriteBand.com.
MyFavoriteBand.com.
Well, get on iTunes.
I'm working. They're tough.
It takes about 3 months.
It takes them for a while.
For a long time.
Yeah, you kind of have to. You got to plan that out. You know,
Ronnie,
it's gonna happen.
You are fantastic.
I wish you nothing but the best.
Thank you so much. If we weren't so entangled with so much equipment,
I'd give you a hug.
Why don't we just do a seance here?
Thank you to all of your beautiful fans.
Hold the hands here. We're going to have a prayer that Ronnie Kroll's career skyrockets into the stratosphere.
Amen.
I'm Fausto Furnos.
I'm Mark Fillion.
Bye, guys.
Bye, everyone.
Debbie talked a game, but then she never had a bit of shame. Debbie took the money, and it never mattered who she named. She's numb and has to fake it. It's the only way to make it, to get where she goes. But it hurts, it's a physical but miserable attraction. So don't do it, need to quit. Sexy with a hit, it's a physical but miserable attraction. Debbie used to tell me that she loved me, but Debbie's feelings have run empty. Debbie, oh Debbie, if I touch you once again. Debbie, oh Debbie, would it be the bitter end? I'm so drawn to her like sexy, but it hurts. It's a physical but miserable attraction.